Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. Bez, what have we got around the grounds this week?
Tori Lewis becomes the fastest Aussie woman in history. The Diamonds win the Netball Nations Cup. Just some more trophies for the netball girls. And wheelchair tennis player Didi de Groot claims her sixth Aussie Open title.
For this key story, we'll discuss the Basil saga that unfolded over the weekend.
There wasn't an issue with basil in my pasta.
I always like basil in my
pasta. The smell of fresh basil is pretty special.
My name is Chloe Doyle.
Again?
What's wrong
with
me?
Think we're changing your name. Doyton.
I get too far ahead of myself to joined. My name is Chloe Dalton, and I'm joined every week on the show by my co-host, Bez. We are recording on Gadigal land. Bez, how are you? You've had a big weekend.
I've had a big week.
Waratahs camp in Dubbo.
Yeah, we did.
Well, week, half week.
5 days in Dubbo. It was beautiful. It was warm. It was over 40 every day.
That's quite a lot.
Like, it was like being in a hairdryer.
Ooh, windy?
Bit windy. It does cool down at night, though, which is nice.
And the players spread out between a range of different regional towns to run some camps.
We had an amazing time, actually. On Friday, we split them all up into groups of four, and they went as far as Coonamble, Molong, Wellington, Warren.
All the Wuz. So cool. The Wuz.
They had a great time. Interacted with the kids. Lots of quick couple of rugby clinics, and then into the town pool. The town pool is such an important part in those small towns
of the culture.
It is. How was your weekend? You were at West Side
at the Sevens, getting a bit of content, which I probably need to edit and post sometime soon, because that was the whole reason for the trip. It was amazing cheering on the Aussie Sevens women. It was pretty disappointing. We'll get to that they lost in the final, but overall an amazing weekend and they did incredibly well. Let's take a look around the grounds. In athletics, the ACT Open and Under 20 Championships in Canberra event was red hot over the weekend. First up, the reigning Paralympic champion, Vanessa Lowe, set the stage on fire with a world best leap in the long jump T61. Lowe, who we spoke to on the podcast last year, who was awesome. If you haven't listened to that one, have a scroll back through on the podcast to check it out. She soared to new heights with a jaw-dropping 5.33-meter jump. Should we say soared to new lengths?
Lengths. Do you soar to a length?
I don't think so. She added 5 centimeters to her own world record.
Stretch to a length?
Stretch to new length. I don't mind that.
I think it's terrible. Play on.
5 centimeters to her own world record. Yeah. She's gearing up for a historic third consecutive gold medal at the Paris Games. And she said after the event, there are a couple of really good jumps out there, but there is a lot I still left out on the track. We're still building on the consistency on the runway to ensure that even the average jumps are like this as the season progresses.
She's set herself a new base.
She absolutely has. And she's returned from having a baby as well. So good on you, Vanessa. You're absolutely killing it. At the same meet, teenage sprint sensation, Tori Lewis has officially claimed the title of Australia's fastest ever woman. That's a pretty cool title.
It is really cool.
The 19-year-old blazed through the 100 metres in an astonishing 11.1 seconds, breaking the national record set by Melissa Breen a decade ago. She not only broke the open record, but also surpassed the great Raylene Boyle's Australian under-20 record from 1968. That's insane.
That is insane. Let's hope she goes on to win a lot of medals like Raylene Boyle did.
It's awesome having, because Zoe Hobbs from New Zealand is running some super fast times. It's really cool that we've got an Aussie that can represent the Trans-Tasman at the Olympic Games.
Let's hope so, yeah.
Tori said, "This is probably the most relaxed I've been in competition. And to be honest, it paid off. I want to get so far and I want to do the best I can." Breen paid tribute to Lewis on social media platform X, writing, "Records are made to be broken. It's been an absolute honour and privilege to be the Australian record holder of the 100 metres for almost a decade. The baton is now yours. Carry it with pride and purpose every day."
Classy that from Breen.
That's beautiful.
Really classy.
And just to round out some epic performances in Canberra, Nicola Olislagas, Nee McDermott, equaled the Australian high jump record, clearing 2.03 metres, the highest jump ever recorded on Australian soil.
That is a surge.
What a weekend.
What a weekend. In netball, carrying on epic weekends, the Australian Diamonds continued their impressive form at the Netball Nations Cup. They faced a historic clash against Uganda, and it was a battle for most of the match. The Ugandan side challenged the Diamonds in the opening quarter, but the Diamonds' smarts and composure prevailed, and in the end, they secured a comfortable 63-49 victory. The Diamonds, who were playing their first ever international against Africa's world number 7 team, showcased their depth as coachee Stacey Marinkovic made whole. What did I say?
Coachee Stacey.
Gosh, been a long week already. It's Monday mornings. Coach Stacey Marinkovic made wholesale changes, fielding a completely different starting lineup. That's some pretty cool depth, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Centre Jamie Lee Price was superb throughout and won Player of the Match honours. And she paid credit to the opposition post-match, saying, "We were feeling really good. We've had a week off, plenty of time to regenerate. Uganda is so good and really tested us, fast and patient. But what's so good about us is that we have so many different combinations. It's really exciting."
The win against Uganda Bears means the Diamonds finished the group campaign unbeaten following earlier victories against England and New Zealand. They faced old rivals and hosts England in the final, creating a rematch of the 2023 World Cup final showdown. The England-New Zealand match was a thriller, with England securing a nail-biting 58-57 victory in the dying seconds. The win against Uganda Bears means the Diamonds finished the group campaign unbeaten following earlier victories against England and New Zealand. So they were up to face old rivals and the hosts, England, in the final, with a bit of a rematch of the 2023 World Cup final showdown. The final was played early on Monday morning, and the Diamonds were too good for the English team, running out 69-49 winners. The defense was relentless, and the shooting combination of Sophie Garbin and Sophie Dwyer were deadly in attack. Garbin was awarded player of the match after finishing with 31 goals from 32 attempts. So good. She said after the game, "Getting winners' medals never gets boring."
Never, ever.
"One of the things we set up for this tournament was to have fun, and we're flying home tomorrow having had so much fun. We talk about improving with each performance. We had a great performance against Uganda, and we wanted to come out really strong again. We've got 13 players, and everyone can come on and do a really good job." Centre Paige Hadley was awarded Player of the Series trophy after being instrumental to each of the Diamonds' victories. They are coming home with another trophy to add to the overflowing cabinet.
They're absolutely owning it. In tennis, speaking of owning it, Didi de Groot, the Dutch tennis sensation, has again showed her dominance in the women's wheelchair singles. She claimed her sixth Australian Open title, defeating Yui Kamiji of Japan in a hard-fought final with a scoreline of 7-5, 6-4. The victory not only secured her 21st major singles championship, equaling the record set by Dutch legend Esther Vergeer, but also extended her incredible winning streak to 135 consecutive matches.
So impressive.
That is madness. She now holds a staggering 13 consecutive Grand Slam singles titles, surpassing the record set by Japanese icon Shingo Kunida. De Groot told reporters, "Looking back at all of the records, I'm proud of myself. I think it shows me that I'm doing better than I maybe even hoped I would ever do."
It's so cool. Good on her.
And Aryna Sabalenka has etched her name in history, claiming back-to-back titles in an electrifying final against Qinwen Zheng. Sabalenka showcased her dominance and power throughout the tournament, not dropping a single set. In the final, she overpowered Zheng, securing a victory with a scoreline of 6-3, 6-2 in just over an hour on Rod Laver Arena. Sabalenka's stellar performance makes her the first woman since Victoria Azarenka in 2012 and 2013 to defend her Australian Open title. She is just, I just love watching her play.
She's also very funny.
Love it.
I really rated her off-court content this year.
Yeah.
I was enjoying it a lot.
Love it. Kirsten's been watching Breakpoint.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but she has become a very big fan after watching
that.
Big, big fan. I just love how hard she hits the ball. I reckon she'd go right inside center. Post-match, she said, "It's been in my mind that I didn't want to be that player who wins one major and then disappeared. I just wanted to show that I'm able to be consistently there and I'm able to win another one."
Good on her.
The final was a showcase of Sabalenka's incredible power, and the win cements her as a dominant force in women's tennis. Australian tennis legend Yvonne Goolagong Cawley presented Sabalenka with a trophy, and Sabalenka thanked, it was a really nice moment. She thanked her for being such an inspiration for all of us. It was really, really sweet. World number one Iga Świątek holds a sizable lead on the rankings, but Sabalenka must be feeling, I reckon, pretty confident that she's in a strong position to get back to the top ranking, which is a spot she briefly held last September.
It's by about 1,000 points, isn't it, for Iga?
Yeah.
She's done well.
Which is, I don't pretend to understand the math involved in it, but she got booted out in the third round. So she must have been a fair way in front.
Yes.
I think I was actually talking to Kirsty about this. I think a lot depends on how much tennis you play.
Yes. It's all about the volume of tournaments, isn't it?
And apparently they're looking into changing it.
Okay.
Because of that, like it kind of rewards the people that go out there and kind of really toil for it.
Yeah, right. In cricket, South Africa made history on Sunday by beating Australia for the first time ever in a T20 clash in Canberra. The South Africans put on a stellar performance in the second T20 international, restricting the Aussies to a below par total of 142. South Africa chased down the target with 6 wickets in hand, securing their maiden victory against the cricket giants. The star of the match was none other than the South African captain, Laura Woolvaart, who played a captain's knock, scoring an unbeaten half century. Alongside opener Tasman Brits, they set the stage with a formidable 75-run partnership. The victory also levelled the multi-format series, adding another layer of excitement to the upcoming clashes. The T20 series decider will be at Blundstone Arena in Hobart on Tuesday night. So tonight, if you're listening on Tuesday morning.
In some snow sports news, Chikara Anthony has officially etched her name in the history books, claiming her 18th FIS World Cup title in Waterville, New Hampshire. She is elite.
In a league of her own.
This makes her the joint most successful Australian mogul skier, tying with the legendary Dale Begg Smith. Chikara's dominance this season has been nothing short of extraordinary. With her recent win in the dual moguls event, she secured her 10th gold from 11 events.
Good on her. I think I've said that 17 times this podcast, but
good on her.
Good on her.
Good on you. Marking one of the most dominant seasons in recent memory. She needs just one more win this season to equal the record set by America's Hannah Keeney for most wins in a season, which has stood since the 2011 and 2012 season. She said after her win, "It's been a crazy season. One win off that record set by Hannah is getting close now. We will have to see what the rest of the season brings, but I won't be focusing on that too much. That's when I might start making mistakes. So I'll keep focusing on what I need to do out there and get better every competition."
Interested to know, Bez, do you think that winner's fatigue is a thing from fans and spectators, not the athletes themselves? But I think let's use, say, the Jess Fox example or Chikara Anthony, like a couple of incredible Aussie athletes that we have that compete in these World Cups where there's multiple events. If we post about that every single time, I think there's an element of people being like, oh, won again. Like almost people almost get convinced that it's easy work for them.
It becomes
them
an expectation.
Yeah.
And it almost, it is, it's not great because it's almost like that expectation is there. And I think there's an element of there mustn't be any competition.
Yes, in the back of people's mind. I think that's what people subconsciously think.
I think that's part of our psyche sometimes, if it's trying to drag people down, which is, you know, needs to go in the bin, but and just celebrate these people that are obviously so dominant.
And I think that stat's really cool, the fact that Chikara has the chance to be the first to do it since the 2011-2012 season in terms of breaking that win record, because I feel like that puts it in perspective about how hard it is to do.
Not everyone's out here doing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, I can mogul, but I'm not sure I'd be this is a good segue into the next part of this story because I did some research this morning. You ready for this?
Yes.
At the X Games in Aspen, Colorado, American Chloe Kim became the first woman to land a 1260 in a snowboard halfpipe competition. In the process of throwing that huge trick, she secured her 6th X Games Aspen title. Now, Chloe, do you want to ask me what a 1260 is?
Sorry, were you hoping I was going to ask you? I stuffed up your whole skit. What is a 1260?
The cab 1260, which is what the trick she threw. About how you throw tricks.
Yeah, every time you were saying throw, I could see you going throw.
So the cab is when you approach the trick, switch front side.
Yeah.
Okay. And obviously 1260 is 3.5 full rotations in the air.
It's a lot of rotations.
From switch front side.
So like is that when you just you've switched which foot's at the front, I'm assuming?
I think it might be you switched to whatever foot. So if you're goofy, you've gone natural stance. But I also think front side means you're facing down the hill.
Yeah, right.
Not back side. Yeah. Help us out, snow people. Chloe Kim, she is a snow person. And she told NBC Sports after the run, "I really wanted to do that trick for a long time. I wish it was a little cleaner, but I'm really stoked that I was able to put it down." So you throw down.
You throw it down. You throw it up, you throw it down. Oh, gosh, we need to move on to the next story. In rugby union, oh, some sad news. Let's start with the weekend as a whole. It was a really cool event. It was also very warm in Perth and at HBF Park. I wouldn't say there's a lot of cover and a lot of shade where we were sitting. So, I was slipping sliding down my own chair with the thigh sweat at certain times throughout the tournament.
Know where you're going there.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to give us a slip, slop, slap message.
Well, that was there too. it was an awesome event. It was really cool for people in WA to have the opportunity to get out there and support this format. It's the first time.
Final day was sold out.
Final day was sold out. It was packed. It was really packed and
love
cool
that.
To see people getting amongst it, drinking a lot of beers in the crowd.
Got to stay hydrated.
Got to stay hydrated and just having a lot of fun. Heartbreak after a very long process, what felt like, to get into the finals. Our Aussie Sevens girls went down to Ireland 19-14 in the final. The weekend had it all for the home team. Both Levi sisters received red cards during the tournament. The team lost in the pool stages to Great Britain and survived a bruising quarterfinal against arch nemesis New Zealand, with both teams playing the majority of the match with six players after each side received a red card in the first half.
That was crazy, that game.
That game was quite bizarre.
Were you just shaking your head like, what's going on here?
Well, because Georgia Miller, the New Zealand player, got her red card like in the first minute of the game.
Yeah, so we're all kind of huddled around tellies or phones and stuff. We're out, but like, oh, we're good here.
Mm.
They're not playing a whole game of six players and winning.
Yeah, and then we got a red card. It's a bit of an issue at the moment.
It is. Just quietly, New Zealand, obviously, you got to see them up close. Is there an issue there, do you think? They lost the bronze medal match to Great Britain.
Yeah, they did. Oh.
Was it them? Did they even
no,
make
it? No, they didn't make it.
Right.
They came fifth.
Right.
I was quite surprised to not see Kelly Brazier out there after Sarah Hidney had done her ACL earlier in the season. I think it's quite interesting to see them not have that level of leadership and experience out there. And then I think Georgia Miller is a real creator for them. She's very evasive in the way she moves her hips and moves her body to evade tackles. She creates a lot for them. So I think for her in that game, getting the red card early felt a little bit like the undoing for them.
Yeah, okay.
Back to the Aussies. They survived all the red card chaos of their own to reach a final against Ireland, who are looking to spoil the home party and win their first ever World Series event. They didn't have the best start, with the returning Tegan Levi turning the ball over from the kickoff. The Irish played slow. They knew the Australians wanted an up-tempo style of game, but they were patient. And unfortunately, another kickoff by the Aussies not going 10 metres saw the Irish team regain possession and secure the win.
It's interesting, you know, if someone's going to beat us, the Irish have kind of, I was not horrifically sad because they look like fun girls.
I really rate them.
Yeah.
They're all good
and
people.
And they were beside themselves.
Yeah.
And that was great. But they played smart too. Like, they literally took all of the pace out of the game. They went to set piece.
They love
pulling
a scrum.
They love a scrum. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's it. Like, play to your strengths, understand the opposition's strengths and work around it. And, yeah, we did make mistakes. I think that's probably the biggest thing, that if the Aussies, you know, obviously very focused on Paris this year, but there's something they need to take out of that tournament. It's those discipline issues really hurt you. And whether that's the cards or it's just little things like giving away penalties at inopportune times, turning over the footy, that stops. I don't think anyone beats them.
Yeah, I agree. Stop four on the Seven Circuit will be in Vancouver, Canada at the end of February, and the Aussies will be looking for a bit of redemption while keeping their eyes firmly fixed on Paris.
In WNBL, the Sydney Flames have now won four on the trot. They're coming home strong.
How good.
And in the process, they've claimed a spot in the top four for now. On Thursday, they whacked the Southside Flyers 101-82 at Key Centre. They were led by Kayla George and Lauren Nicholson, who both finished with 21 points each. Lauren Jackson, surprisingly, was the best of the Flyers, racking up 17 points and 8 rebounds. So there's two rounds to play. They do have a two-week FIBA break right now, and the Flames will be looking to lock in a spot in the top four and play some finals basketball. They're actually doing a really cool farewell to Lauren Jackson as well, their home game.
Yeah.
I think it's the 18th of Feb. We'll definitely have some stuff in the socials about that. They're trying to break the WNBL record.
I really hope the crowd get around it. Do we know what the crowd was at Key Centre?
It was just short of 3,000, I think.
Okay. I think we need to up that. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
In A-League, this is some awesome news. After 480 days in rehab, Kaya Simon was back on the park for the Central Coast Mariners on Sunday afternoon. The Matilda made her long-awaited return from the ACL injury in the F3 derby when she came on as a replacement in the second half. It was 16 years after her Mariners debut and the 32-year-old got to enjoy a 2-0 win over rivals Newcastle Jets. The win moved the Mariners to fifth on the ladder, and with Simon sure to get more minutes in coming games, they look to be timing their finals run well. I'm really stoked, obviously, for her that she's back, but the fact that they got the win over their rivals, that's a nice way to return.
Very nice.
On Thursday, Western United striker Hannah Keane scored twice to help her side defeat league leaders Melbourne City 3-1 at Amy Park. City have now lost two of their last three matches, and the Chloe Legazzo-led Western United are hot on their heels in second place.
They're looking good, Western United.
Absolutely. In a bit more football news, Sam Kerr has agreed to a contract extension with Chelsea. She will miss the remainder of the season with the ACL injury sustained at a training camp in Morocco, and her deal was due to run out in the Northern Hemisphere summer. But despite the injury, Chelsea are desperate to keep her, and Kerr has agreed a deal in principle to extend her contract at the London club. Deals are yet to be confirmed, but Bez?
I am very stoked she will remain a Blue. Hello, Chelsea. In surfing, hot on the heels of Carissa Moore's announcement that she would be evolving in a direction that doesn't include the World Surf League Tour, Aussie Stephanie Gilmore has shared that she will also be stepping back from the tour. Gilmore confirmed she would be stepping away from the tour for the year, but the 8-time world champ does plan to return in 2025, whereas Chris has said, sounds like this is it kind of thing. Gilmore shared a post on social media saying, I'm planning to take this tour season off as a refresh for myself physically, mentally, and to enjoy following swells and free surfing in new places. I have some projects and trips I want to do which haven't been possible while traveling for the tour season. I'm still passionate and dedicated to competing, and I have goals and dreams that I'm still chasing. I'm excited for something fresh this year, and I look forward to returning to competition in 2025. Interestingly, there's been some chat around her announcement came 4 or 5 days after Carissa's.
Mm.
There's some chat around if Steph was tossing it up, and then when Carissa said she was done, Steph thought, maybe I will have a year off as well.
That's a big decision to make in 5 days.
It is a big decision to make in
5 days.
Do you
think maybe she was on the fence and that was part of her decision making?
Yeah.
It's an interesting one, her talking about wanting to do some certain trips and projects. Chatting with some footy friends recently, it's a really interesting time, your most competitive years as an athlete. Often as a female, if you want to potentially have kids once you retire or during your career, that's kind of the next step. But a lot of time you forget about this prime years of your 20s that you could be traveling the world and doing these things before you settle down, as they like to say.
Mm.
You kind of are sacrificing a lot. And if you're then almost hoping to potentially have kids straight after you finish your career, not saying that that's what Steph and Carissa are trying to do, but it's a really tricky balance where what do you miss out on when you're a professional athlete?
It is. And it is, you have to sequence that your life in a certain way. And sometimes it could, I'm sure it's overwhelming for athletes to think, like you said, I'm in my prime right now, but that biological clock is ticking loudly in the back of your head.
Loudly.
Yeah. Some of the girls actually spoke about it while we were away. But interestingly, I think obviously the tour kicks off tonight, probably our time, hopefully, depending on the swell in Hawaii. So Carissa Moore will surf Pipeline. Steph won't, as her kind of farewell event. But I can't wait to see who steps up. Like, will it be one of the young guns? Or I just, like, when I read that Steph thing, I was like, oh, Tyler, the world title is yours to lose now. Tyler Wright or Sally Fitz, time to shine.
How good.
Hopefully it's one of them.
Let's take a look at the key story. There was a fair bit of drama that exploded over the weekend in relation to Perth Lord Mayor and Liberal Party hopeful Basil Zemplis. I was sent a video that Six News, which I think is a Perth TV station, had shared on their Twitter. And what had happened was it was a recording on one of their hot mics that they had captured before the press conference went live. They'd shared this clip, and in the clip, there was a discussion between Basil and a journalist about the fact that the women's tennis final was on that night. They referred to it as the female final. And Basil's response was, oh, the reserves game then. That blew up. We shared that on our page. It got a huge amount of traction in terms of comments and engagements and things like that. Basil then responded, not to us, he responded publicly to the Six News, and there were a lot of news outlets picking it up, and defended what he had said and provided context around the fact that he had been speaking to the journalist about the fact that when there's a major sporting event on, the competition, say between 7 and 9, becomes the reserves game, becomes the, it's not the main event. So their battle for viewership is diminished. We shared that onto our story straight away, and not long after also shared that onto our grid. There was a huge amount of comments. A lot of people not believing his response, thinking that he was kind of scrambling and making something up. Then there were a lot of comments talking about the fact that it wasn't the full context. So as soon as we shared, we were sent the full clip, which I believe the ABC published, which provided a bit more context. We put that straight on onto our stories as well. Throughout the whole process, we were updating the captions, pinning comments to let people know that you can view it all in our stories. It's on the grid. It's all there. We didn't provide any opinions. We wanted to provide all the information from both sides of the argument. It just was, we ended up actually removing the video from our page because sometimes I find that stuff way more anxiety inducing than what it's worth, because people were questioning our intentions and saying that we'd cropped the video and hadn't provided context, when we wanted to make sure that we did not provide any opinions. We just were providing the information and allowing people to make their own judgment on the matter. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you've said the word context there a lot, and I think that is super important in and around any space like this, especially in this day and age where you're looking at social media and things can be cropped and taken out of context. Regardless of that, or, you know, the reality is that the way he spoke at that time, it was very easily interpreted that he was referring to the women's tennis final as the reserve game match. And so for me, it's about being better and being more careful with the language you use, how you use it, when you use it, because if you were listening to that, that's what it absolutely sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
And perception is reality. We all know that. And the reality is for us, when you listen to that, it sounds like he was absolutely referring to the Australian Open as because it was the female match being the reserve game. Now, it's not his first time. He's attracted some condemnation for offhand comments previously. So he is the Perth Lord Mayor.
Weird name.
Do you know who the Sydney Lord Mayor is?
Nope.
He's been the Perth Lord Mayor since 2020, and just after being voted in, he made some comments that were widely branded as transphobic on his radio show. So, like, I think he has a track record. I think it is understandable for people to have taken his comments as they took them. And, yeah, I think context is important, but language is so much more important. And I think that, yeah, you spoke to about how kind of overwhelming it can be in that social media space sometimes. And this is a really good example of something that really blew up. And I think if we can take anything out of this, it's that we all need to be better with our language, how we describe things and when we're saying things.
Yeah,
and in what space. That. And that's social media comments and everything. Like that language and that timing is important everywhere.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I think that's what we should take out of Basil and the Ratatouille.
Let's take a look at what to watch. In cricket, the women's T20 series v South Africa, and the series moves to Hobart on Tuesday. The deciding match in the T20 series will be played at Blundstone Arena starting at 7:05 p.m. AEDT. You can tune in live on KO and Fox Sports.
The A-League is producing some excellent games of football, and this Sunday there will be a cracker at Leichhardt Oval when third place Sydney FC host fourth place to Perth Glory.
How good.
Kickoff is 7 p.m. and if you can't get out to Leichhardt, watch live on the Ten Network and Paramount Plus.
The waiting period for the Lexus Pipe Pro began on Monday, and the surfers will be hoping for some solid Hawaii winter swell. All the action will be live on the Seven Network, Fox Sports and the WSL app.
And in swimming, the 2024 World Aquatics Championships take place in Doha, Qatar from February 2nd to the 18th. Australia will be sending swimmers to compete in the pool and in open water events, as well as our amazing water polo team, the Stingers, who have been going nuts in tests against Canada and training camps. Tilly Kearns has been very amusing on her social media channels. If you don't follow her, get around her. All the action will be live on the Nine Network for the championships.
And that's the wrap.
That is the wrap. Battled through, got there.
Got there after a big weekend. See you next week.
Bye-bye.